I have my, well, no, mine is working.
I heard something.
Now it is.
Okay.
Okay, now it's working.
Okay, you good? All right. Okay, I'd like, good evening, but I'd like to officially call to order the Safety Commission's meeting for March 10th, 2022. I'm Tuari Faola, and I will be chairing this meeting in the absence of Chair Mark Quinn today. Before we begin tonight's meeting, I'd like to start by making a few introductory remarks. The Safety Commission is comprised of 7 Chula Vista residents who serve without pay and have been appointed by the City Council. The Commission meets on, I guess we're now the 4th Thursday of each month, and has responsibility of conducting public hearings on matters related to, or matters related to matters of vehicular and pedestrian traffic safety. In attendance this evening from the engineering department is civil engineer Paul Obenbayer, and who has extensive, who has expertise in traffic engineering, and officer Ed Christopher from the police department traffic bureau. They are here to provide information, analysis, and their recommendations to the commission. If you wish to speak on an item on tonight's agenda, well, I suppose if we get anyone in the audience, they will need to fill out a speaker form and submit it to the recording secretary. And then I will call their name to the podium, and they'll state their name and address for the record. And so their time will be limited to 3 minutes. On March 14th, 1995, City Council adopted a policy granting additional authority to the Safety Commission on matters of public safety. The policy indicates that most of the decisions reached at tonight's meeting are considered final. An appeal process was included in this new policy, and staff may be contacted regarding the conditions of the appeal process. The commission appreciates everyone's interest in public safety and attendance tonight. Okay, so with that, I'd have you join me and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So if I could please have our secretary to do roll call.
Commissioner Faola.
Present.
Commissioner Heidinger.
Present.
Commissioner Orso Delgado.
Present.
Commissioner Cervantes.
Present.
And Chair Martin.
Okay, so we are going to move on to item number 4 on our agenda, which is public comments, and this is the opportunity for comments that or any subject matter that's within the commission's jurisdiction that's not listed as an item on the agenda. State law generally prohibits the commission from discussing or taking action on any issue not included on the agenda, but if appropriate, the commission may schedule the topic for future discussion or refer to the matter to staff. So I don't know, did we receive any non-agenda public comments?
We did not receive any e-comments.
Okay, perfect. Do any of the commissioners have any non-agenda public comments? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to item number 5. Okay, so this section of the agenda will be considered individually by the commission. Sorry, I'm reading here. Okay, so it's for us to elicit discussion and deliberation. If we have any public comments or anyone who comes, we'll ask them to fill out a speaker request form and submit it to Florence before the item is presented. I believe we have a staff presentation for item 5.1, as well as a recommendation for adoption of a resolution of the Safety Commission of the City of Chula Vista changing the day of regular meetings.
I don't actually have a presentation. I don't know, Florence, if you want
to. It's just this? Simply a discussion for us to then.
Yes, this is for the meeting date.
Okay, well, we didn't receive any public comments on this item, did we?
No.
Okay, do any of the commissioners want to make any comments on this particular one?
I do. the date or the day that's been selected on Thursday is fine, completely fine with me. However, I would like for a commission to consider, since we have an issue with gas prices horrendously going up and up and up, I'd like to recommend that we go back to Zoom meetings if possible.
we're not allowed to go back to the virtual.
We cannot.
No, we have to do in-person, unfortunately. Unless that changes for whatever reasons, I will inform you, but we have to do in-person meetings at this time.
Okay.
Do we allow the public to attend virtually, or do we, the public also has to attend in person to provide comments?
They can submit e-comments. I do not believe that we are on virtual. I think only the city council at this time is doing the virtual or the televised meetings, mm-hmm. and I believe the planning commission just started doing video meetings.
But the commission,
I'll get an update from the city clerks.
Yeah, please do.
And update you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from commissioners tonight? Okay. Well, we are asked for the commission to adopt this resolution for moving our meeting time. So could I get a motion?
I move.
Okay. Thank you. And second. All right, and can we do roll call for votes? Or I guess not roll call. We can do it on our screen, can't we?
Wait. Did everybody vote?
Mm-hmm. I hit the lock button, but it didn't do anything.
It's not showing it. Vice Chair Toetti, it's still say waiting for vote.
Oh, I think I hit it too late.
And there you go.
Okay, that passes with all members present. Thank you. Okay, so now we're moving on to item 5.1, which is the resolution of the Safety Commission on the City of Chula Vista approving an update to the truck route map for the City of Chula Vista. We don't have a presentation for this one.
Staff does have a presentation.
You do. Okay.
It's quite brief. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you all. So let me bring up the presentation. So this is the item to update the truck route map. This was essentially brought about because, as you can see on this current map, the segment of Heritage Road here is shown as future. And generally the trigger for us implementing new traffic regulations on the road would be when the city accepts the roadway. Police can generally enforce, we've been told by the city attorney's office, they can generally enforce roadways that are open to the public. But as far as setting new regulations for things like the truck routes, this has to be established by this commission, and we had to have accepted the roadway. So this is the proposed map. As you can see, it incorporates Heritage Road, and it also references future truck routes from arterials that have been recently constructed or are near completion, namely La Media Roads or La Media Parkway in that segment, as well as a portion of Main Street, Millennium Avenue, and East Lake Parkway. And so staff recommends that the commission approve this resolution. It would essentially, effectively, it would require staff to update Schedule 7, which is the official record. This map is sort of just a depiction of Schedule 7. It's easier for discussion purposes, but that's really what the item is proposing to do. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Paul. Does anyone from the commission have any clarifying questions for staff? No?
I have a question. What's the purpose of the truck route? I see trucks all over the place.
violation from being on any legal street, is it?
There are violations associated with trucks being on a street. So the threshold is 10,000 pounds, the weight of the truck. And it's under municipal codes, chapter 10.64, that says that unless you're not, if you're not delivering to a local business or resident or what have you, then you should not be on that road.
Okay.
So those are like the kind of exceptions. There are a couple others. I'm sure Officer Christopher would know better than I. I don't know if you want to.
Again, like what Paul said, that, you know, most of the time, you know, you do see trucks driving around the city everywhere. And again, because of the weight, that's when they start, you know, destroying the roads.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the residents, when they try to make U-turns and they start blocking traffic for a while because they are such a large item in the roadway. We do try to enforce that as much as possible. But a lot of times by the time we get the complaint, you know, the vehicle's already been moving. So they are local delivery. So that's, they would be within compliance of the, you know, the municipal code and the California state law.
Thank you.
Commissioner Orso Delgado, did you have a?
Yeah, Paul, if I look at the first map, this one. There's a little piece over here, I guess it's Lane Avenue?
Yes.
Is that being added as well?
It is, and I can't recall what the legend was referring to on this one. Actually,
well, if I look at the legend, it talks about propose. If I'm looking at...
Oh, yes, I see it, what you're saying. Yes.
Okay, so that is also included in all of this, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, then I look at this map and I look at the green, and that's the heritage piece that you're talking about that's part of the future when you accept it. And then I go to the next map, and that shows, I guess, what's around Millennia.
The future green, yes.
Yeah.
Is Eastlake Parkway and Millennia Avenue.
Okay. And then, and that's it. Do we, or you, or anyone, not on the future routes, but on the proposed piece on Lane Avenue, did we notify the residents that was going to be happening?
We did not notify the residents. Are you referring to residents that would live off of Lane Avenue in those two neighborhoods there? No, we did not.
Which they're not. I mean, they're, because it's a major thoroughfare. There's, the houses are one street over, I mean, mainly.
Yes.
But I'm wondering if we have to notify them or we just do it.
I would say that given that the houses are not fronting the road,
okay,
they have more flexibility. But I would say it's this commission's prerogative to, you know, say if you want to omit that portion, since it's not currently a truck route.
I don't think that, I mean, that's probably the most common route that the folks that go to UPS and the new Amazon and all of those areas technically use, whether it's notice or not. I mean, they're all.
Are they small? Are they the large semi-truck, like 10,000 pounds?
Both.
Okay.
I mean, that's how they get there.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Are there any other commissioner?
Yeah, I recall, before my time here even, that there was some controversy on that part of Lane Avenue because the truckers were complaining about the stop signs. They had to stop and start again and whatnot. And the local residents were complaining because they were afraid of getting run down as they crossed the lane. I guess the truckers won out, and although there's probably still stop signs there, so I'm not really sure.
There are still stop signs.
Do we have any other commissioner comments? Okay. Morris, did we receive any public comments on this item?
No, we did not.
So since we have no public comments and we're done with commissioner comments, this one is, staff is asking for us to adopt the resolution for the changes to this map. Does anyone want to make a motion or a second for this?
A motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Heidinger.
I will second it.
Thank you. Okay, and then we'll take a vote. And this item passes with those members present. Okay, moving on to item number 6 on our agenda, we have a few presentations. These don't require any action by the commission, so I will turn it over to staff, or actually our officer here, to give us an update on traffic collisions and citations.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Officer Ed Christopher. I'm an officer with the City of Chula Vista Police Department, and I currently work in the Traffic Division. So the first presentation I have tonight is going to be one for our traffic collisions. And historically, looking at the statistics on the graph here, we're below our average for the traffic collisions. Looking at the previous 2 years of 2021 and 2020, looking at that you know, we're right around the same ballpark. For safety, we're taking every complaint. We're looking at statistics all the time, trying to figure out where we need to enforce or possibly go out and educate the public on the safety of driving, you know, the vehicle violation codes and the signage of the roads. So on the second presentation that we have here, this is for our traffic citations. Now, historically looking at this, we're well below on our citations. I really don't have a good answer to tell you why that is, that's currently that way. I will tell you that right now, especially for the traffic division, we do have a lot of officers that are hurt, and so they're not currently working. I know calls for service for the whole police department itself has been increasing. And again, we try, when we go out to these incidents, you know, whatever they might be, we're given 110%, and we're trying to educate and do what we need to do for enforcement. But historically looking, again, going back 2 years for 21 and 2020, we were below the average before the years before that. But again, for the citations, it's you know, this is my first time being here for this agenda. I'm not real positive where they got this, the numbers for, and what they were looking at for this. If somebody has, I guess, more suggestions of what they would like, I could definitely get that for the next meeting, of what we could, you know, possibly put on there to make it a little bit better.
That concludes the presentation.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I have a question.
Also had a question.
Officer, if I look at the first graph that you showed us, is that it?
Yes, the collision one, yes.
Okay. So you were saying that 2022 is a lower number.
It's the 93 on the bottom left.
So it's the 93 only?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Okay, now if we go to the next one, it's the 199, huh?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Are there any other clarifying questions? Do we have any other clarifying questions that you wanted to ask Officer Christopher? Oh, okay. Okay, do we have public comments on this item?
No, we do not.
Okay, last time for commissioners. Any comments or clarifying questions? Okay. Okay, seeing none, thank you so much, Officer Christopher. We appreciate your presentation. Okay, item 6.2 on the agenda is bikeways and pedestrian facilities CIP project update. And I believe staff has a presentation as well.
Yes, I'll just highlight a couple since I have another discussion about CIP projects. So just to highlight a couple of the ones that have been in construction phase, we have completed a few of them, namely the safety improvements in front of Hazel G. Cook Elementary and Kellogg Elementary. We installed a median, did flashing beacons, and we improved the traffic signal at Cook Elementary. We've also completed a lot of sidewalk replacement and repair work. And currently we're wrapping up work on a Hawk beacon, or it's called a pedestrian hybrid beacon, which effectively is a red light for traffic. So it's different than the flashing beacons, which warn drivers that a pedestrian is present and it's up to them to follow the law and give way. Whereas in this case, they have to follow the law to respond to the red light. And we will be starting work on enhanced crosswalks and school zones shortly. We're just getting the bids together for this one. And now in the design phase, the D Street sidewalk project will construct a long segment between 3rd and 4th Avenue of missing sidewalk on the south side of D Street that we'll be advertising the next month or so. This project will be advertising as well, and it's a installing lead pedestrian interval timing on traffic signals. This is a highway safety improvement program project, which I'll be speaking about next. And this project will essentially give pedestrians an extra 3 to 5 seconds of head start going across the crosswalk before the vehicles get their green light. So that way it makes the pedestrian more visible to the vehicles that want to turn right in particular, but it's also just more visible to everyone. So they get a couple seconds of time to themselves, essentially. It does add to the overall cycle length of the traffic signal, so it builds in some delay, but we've also incorporated a lot of these things into recent retiming efforts that we've had. So it shouldn't be a very noticeable difference. And I'll speak to that a little bit more later. Oh, and then the Heritage Road Bridge. This one has been sort of far on the horizon for a while. Now it's kind of around the corner. We're just wrapping up a lot of the more administrative things from the grant side of things. The design is pretty much 100%. And so we expect to have some major construction probably. Well, I would say it would definitely be underway this time next year. But it probably would have started a little bit before that. And we have been extensively coordinating with the amphitheater and to a lesser extent, but we still have been coordinating with SeaWorld, owners of Aquatico / Sesame Place. So we're really looking forward to this one. It'll be a really good project for the area. And that was it for my update. If there are any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from our commissioners?
Yes. Oh, about this? No. No questions.
Any Commissioner Oscar Delgado, are you pressing your button to... No?
Oh. No.
Oh, everything just went black. But... Oh, okay. All right. Well, it seems we have no questions, so thank you so much, Paul, for the presentation. So we'll move right into item 6.3, which is Delivered Highway Safety Improvement Program Projects Review.
Thank you. So this item is sort of came about because you see a lot of the pedestrian and bicycle projects and you're not really sure where they come from and how they come about. And so we want to give a little more context for that and also highlight a couple things that are a little more complex or not as readily visible on the as you're driving down the street. So the Highway Safety Improvement Program is a federal program from the Federal Highway Administration. They essentially distribute the money to all the states. So Caltrans administers the state of California, and Caltrans has allowed the agencies, basically the various municipalities, to compete, I guess would be a word to say, for the funding through proposing projects that are based on a benefit cost ratio. So the benefit would be based on what you're proposing. There's an associated collision reduction factor. So based on prior research from various studies, That countermeasure has an associated collision reduction factor. You apply it to the collisions that have occurred there, and then you apply the cost, and the ratio of the two gives you a benefit-cost ratio. So in Chula Vista, we've been applying to HCIP, as we call it, since around 2010, if not earlier. 2010 was the furthest back I could readily see. We have delivered projects through cycle 8, so they come in cycles every couple years on average. We're advertising the LPI, the Lean Pedestrian Interval project shortly. That was from cycle 9, and then cycle 10 is currently in design. And we expect to have a call for projects from Caltrans for cycle 11 around May this year. This is also tied to the local road safety plan because Caltrans and the FHWA have required that we need a local road safety plan to be eligible for HCIP funding. So we will be talking about that probably in the next meeting. And as I mentioned on the slide, the selection process has become more competitive. More agencies are in the know as far as this funding opportunity, and so more have been applying. And, you know, overall, it's better for the safety of the roads in the state, though, you know, it's a more crowded field, as I guess you could say. So by the numbers, since I took it 10 years back, since 2012, we have built one new traffic signal. We have rebuilt 16. Most of that was associated with what we apply protected left turn phasing, so you get the green arrow for a left turn dedicated to you. It's no longer, it's not what they call protected permissive, which is when you get the green arrow briefly and then you have to get the green ball so you yield to oncoming traffic. We've reconfigured two intersections, which is essentially just putting in new poles in places to change up the phasing so different turning movements occur there. And we've retimed 157 intersections, which is a little more than half of the intersections we have in the city. We currently are at about 306. We've installed two enhanced crossings. One of them is at 4th and Davidson here. We've installed 500 feet of sidewalk, lots of ped ramps, as you can imagine, most of them associated with the traffic signals. We did four miles of fiber optics, countdown signals, so the pedestrian countdown signals as you're crossing the crosswalk. We've installed at 119 locations. I think the number was 740 countdown signals. And we did 2,200 feet of Class 2 bikeway on Palomar Street between Broadway and Industrial. So to highlight a couple of the projects where you don't actually see the physical improvements in the field, one of them is the adaptive signals project that we installed at basically around Southwestern College. So the approaches to and from the 805 on Telegraph Canyon and East H, as well as the frontage of Southwestern College on Otay Lakes Road, all got adaptive traffic signals, which means there is a little more intelligence built into traffic signals because at their most basic level, traffic signal is a glorified egg timer, you could say. And then on the next level of complexity, it will take in demands for it based on detection and then determine how much time to give. And then in the adaptive, it has more detection and it will in real time modify the timing in response to how much demand it's seeing. And then you can group them together so they can still coordinate and you can catch the green wave, as they say, and go down the corridor without much interruption. This is a project that was applied for under HCIP because it is a means of helping traffic progress more smoothly without having abrupt stops, which could potentially lead to rear-end collisions and the like. It also incorporated new yellow timing. So yellow timing is sort of a thing that has evolved over time as far as the methods that go into it, because it's what is referred to as the dilemma zone, where you're not really sure if you're going to go or not go. And we also incorporated pedestrian clearance time that is consistent with current standards. So pedestrians are now assumed to walk more slowly on the crosswalk to be more accommodating and accessible to various people of varying ability. And on the left is sort of like the side benefits that have come with this project that we wanted to highlight. So there's almost 10% decrease in travel time, 5.3% reduction in nitrous oxide, which is, you know, the brown gas that is associated with smog. CO2 emissions are almost 7% reduced, and there's a 5.5% reduction in fuel consumption. This was determined based on driving vehicles up and down the corridor to see before and after results. And so a little less complex, but more impactful, I guess you could say, would be the retiming of the entire west side, which was 130 traffic signals plus Main Street. And the highlighted corridors there in yellow are the ones that were driven to come up with this data. It did essentially the same thing, but now we're just talking classic, I guess you can say, coordination, where their timing is predetermined and they're just, the signals are working together based on an initial model that is built from observed traffic patterns. As you can see here, the CO2 reduction is reported in tons of carbon dioxide. It's pretty substantial, almost 21,000 tons. And the travel times decreased by almost 20%, 18% is pretty substantial. This area needed a lot of updating, and it also brought it to the current standards I referred to with respect to the pedestrian and as well as the yellow time standards. So that was completed in May 2021. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, that was very interesting. Do we have any Commissioner Orso Delgado wants to?
I have a question, and this just piques my interest on the timing coordination that you did on the second slide. the other one.
Oh, this one, sorry.
This one, yeah. So I'm assuming that on the first one where you did the 805 stuff in Southwestern College, you revamped the whole system by putting new controllers and maybe even the CCTV detection and went away from the loops. That's my assumption.
On the adaptive one?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, actually. It was stop. I think the stop bar has some video detection, but most of it is loop driven, actually.
Really?
Yes. But loops are more reliable.
Generally. Did you change the controllers?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So in order to do the same thing on these 113, you would need to revamp all of the controllers, huh?
Not necessarily. So the beauty of the older controllers is if you plan the timing well enough, and so the models have evolved to make it so that they're more intelligent as far as giving you a starting point for how to set up your timing, then we had a consultant do this work, Iteris, and they were able to make it work out on the model and then fine-tune it in the field using the older controllers. We do have plans to update all these controllers, but they don't use the intelligent adaptive software. The reason they don't need adaptive so much is because adaptive is more appropriate for places where you don't have as predictable traffic patterns. So Southwestern College is sort of the wild card in that area, determining whether a lot of cars are coming or going. Whereas on the west side, there are more consistent patterns. Though being a grid, it does give a little complexity, and so we will have plans probably in the future to reevaluate the timing, but it seems to be pretty impactful. So,
well done, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Commissioner Heidinger?
Yeah, it seems to me all these metrics that you have here are just designed to speed the cars through Chula Vista. Is that a fair statement?
I would say that it is not necessarily a completely accurate statement. There may be higher speeds if you were, you know, stuck in gridlock or, you know, in a jam of some kind. However, there is more regularity to the flow. And if you, the timing of these corridors is such that you follow the speed limit to catch the green. So if you go too fast, you'll run into a red light. If you go too slow, you'll run into a red light.
Well, that was my second question. It's been my understanding that L Street for ages, since the days of Roar, was that if you went at the speed limit, you hit all greens, that if you got even a little bit above the speed limit, you would hit reds. I suspect that they just manually did it that way in one direction. But, I mean, is that true for these new adaptive ones, too?
The adaptive ones,
they take into account the local speed limits?
So they're not meant to slow the speed limit because the vehicle code restricts us. It's sort of vague, but it says that engineers may modify the timing such that it slightly reduces the speed, which we've generally interpreted as 5 miles an hour lower than the speed limit. So these are set to kind of that speed, but more often than not, it's more consistent in the flow.
I mean, anybody who's driven on Olympic or Telegraph Canyon knows that if you're hitting green lights, they get faster and faster as they approach 805. And so, you know, really the only thing to break it up is the occasional green and red lights, traffic signals.
The red lights. You're saying the way to break it up would be to have more red lights in between?
Slow them down.
I see. Yeah, so that's
even on 8th Street, if you watch on 8th Street going west, coming down the hill towards 805, that's actually a high-speed on-ramp there, and going north, and you can just see the cars revving up the freeway speed to get on there.
Yeah, and then that location in particular, that's Caltrans's signal, so we don't have any authority over how that's done. Well, actually, that ramp I don't think has a signal, right? So Hidden Vista is the last one there, and as you can see, it's all by itself. This is in the PM peak. So it does not have, it's not associated with that green wave you would be catching down East 8th Street, and just in this particular example. I hear what you're saying for sure. Olympic is not currently, it has coordination. It's pretty old now, though. I think it's going on 7 or 8 years since it was last re-timed in the coordination plan. And as I mentioned, it's not designed to force cars through as fast as they can. It's designed to have it so that if you catch a green light, you will be able to progress, if you're following the speed limit, through without hitting a red.
Okay.
We have any other commissioner comments?
Oh, I have a commissioner's comment.
I do have just one question on the ACIP, HCIP funding. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, are we getting kind of our fair share? I know you were saying it was competitive, and so I guess just in terms of like what's the scale or size of the amount of money we get for these projects that get funded through HCIP, and do you feel like we're doing well in the competitive?
I appreciate that question. I would say we have done quite well. In the past cycles, we've done very well. We've gotten projects that, so for instance, the retiming project and this adaptive project were on the order of over $1 million. I didn't want to report dollars because it's hard with inflation that's going on now to kind of conceptualize as you go back 10 years how much a dollar's worth.
Yeah.
So, you know, early on it was $500,000, like $400,000, something like that. And then currently the project for lead pedestrian interval, which to Commissioner Orso Delgado's point, will incorporate newer controllers and so forth. That project is over $2 million because it is at 85 locations, and it's updating all of the software because it's a newer feature that older controllers can't handle so well. So I would say we've done quite well, and now other people are in on it, and we'll just have to do better as far as, you know, making more competitive projects.
That's really great. And sorry, just last little, does HCIP require matching funds, or do we...
Yes. So the dollars I quoted to you, some of those were 100% HCIP, some of those were local match. It depends on the countermeasure you propose. So as I mentioned, that some countermeasures have a collision reduction factor. They also have an associated local match expectation.
Okay. So that's good. Really great job. You know, I always tell my staff, anytime you can get money from the state to do things here locally, we want to pursue that funding to help us. So that's excellent. Okay, any other comments? Okay, thank you very much, Paul, for the presentation. We'll move right into item number 7, which is staff comments. Did you have anything else that you wanted to bring?
No, nothing in particular, but I'm glad to see you all again. I know the new year has passed, so
yeah, good to see you. I know, that's true. Happy New Year, as we're in March now. Okay, item number 8 is our commissioner's comments. Did we have any?
I have a comment.
You had one, okay.
You know, I recently became aware that LA has passed an ordinance, and the mayor said he's going to sign it, to reduce 177 miles of streets, the speed limit, by 5 miles per hour due to the recent adjustment of the 85th percentile thing. And I just read in the paper the other day that San Diego's mayor promised to do the same thing, although he wasn't too specific. So I was wondering, are we doing anything along those lines?
Absolutely, would be the short answer. We have a RFP out. Well, I have to put it out. I have it ready to go for a consultant to help us with updating a lot of the speed limits on the road based on the new legislation. Meanwhile, this, I think it's the county, or if it's not, it's the state MUTCD board, the Committee on the Traffic Control Devices, on the Manual and Uniform Traffic Control Devices, that is coming up with guidance to kind of help us agencies implement the new legislation. It's, as I've discussed in the previous meetings, it's not really complicated legislation, but the Caltrans in particular is charged with coming up with what defines like a heavy business area, or mainly that's the one, because there are certain caveats or certain modifications you can apply in a business area versus a non-business area. And so we're waiting on that guidance to come out to get really hardcore on, you know, doing lots of corridors. But I will say we have the money, we have the RFP ready to go, so it's just a matter of putting it out there to bring a lot of segments to you all for approval. Generally, that would be involving reduction, I would imagine, considering mm-hmm. the new legislation that's out there. So stay tuned.
Okay. I look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah.
Any other commissioner comments? No? Okay. And Florence, I realized I didn't ask if there were public comments on item 6.3. I'm assuming there were not, or you would have flagged it for me.
No, there were none.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. With that, I will call this meeting adjourned at 6:48 p.m. Wow. Yeah. Early.
These meetings go so much faster without the public.
I know.
Then she wanted to change and remove all of the loop. But we embarked in a process of putting video detection. And then she, being the character that he is, he set up a control center in his desk. And he could remotely look at every single intersection. And if there was something going on at any given time, he could tweak it from his desk.